Well, October, as I shared with you, is Missions Month. And the Missions Committee came to me several months ago and asked me if I would do a series of messages on the theme of answering God's call for your life. And so I need to begin, I think, this morning by explaining what I am going to be speaking on the next, if the Lord allows me to do that and tarries, I'm going to be speaking on answering God's call for your life. But I want to explain what that is. First of all, what that is not. I'm not going to be speaking specifically on answering God's call on your life for salvation. Because every one of us here today that are saved have been called of the Lord. Scripture says in Acts 2:39, it says, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself, we're saved. Romans chapter 8 says, for whom he predestined, he also called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Everyone here, if you are saved, you've been called of the Lord unto salvation. But that's not what we're going to major on the next month. I'm also not going to be majoring on God's call to sanctification. Because everyone that's been called to salvation has also been called to sanctification. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy, I believe it's chapter 1, verse 9. He says, whom he saved, he also called with a holy calling. You remember in Peter, when we went through that, in chapter 1 of Peter, he talked about that calling. He said, like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself in all your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And there's a calling on our lives as Christians. It's a holy calling. We're called to holiness. Amen. But this month, although we'll talk about that, that's not going to be the emphasis. That's not the call. It's not a call to salvation or a call to sanctification. But what we want to emphasize this month, what I've been asked to preach on this month, is God's call to service. Amen. On our lives. You see, if you're here and you're saved, you're not saved to sit.
That's right.
What are you doing? No. We're not saved to sit. We are saved to serve. And there's a call, as Paul, Elder Paul said, there's a call on all of our lives. And the call on our lives, it's not the same for every person. Now, the call to salvation is the same. The call to sanctification is the same. But the call to service is different. Now, let me backtrack a little bit here. We're not going to be talking specifically about the call to salvation, but let me say this, you can't serve the Lord unless you're saved.
Amen.
I mean, you can do religious things, you can do good things for mankind, but you can't serve the Lord unless you're saved.
Amen.
Can't do it. So it does involve salvation. And I'll tell you what, it involves sanctification. Because God, we need to be vessels that are fit for his use.
Amen.
Fit for his use. Now, that doesn't mean you got to be perfect. Because if it meant you had to be perfect, no one could serve. Come on, amen?
Amen.
Amen. No one could serve. But it does mean that we have to be in this process. We have to be growing in this process of becoming more like the Lord. There is a call to sanctification. And God uses people that are growing in their faith. But every one of us have a call on our lives to serve the Lord. Now, some people are called to full-time vocational Christian service, like Elder Paul. God puts a call on a person's life. Not always is it a clear call. We'll be hearing some other people and how they were called into ministry. And sometime during this month, I'm going to share with you how God called me into full-time ministry. And it's not always a clear call, but he calls us. And I'll tell you, we need full-time vocational Christian workers. Young people, we need people that'll give their lives to be missionaries, to go across seas, and to go on the mission field. We need people. God needs people. God needs people that'll step up and be pastors in a church. Not everybody's called to be a pastor. Whew. Wow, great. Oh, thank you. But there are some that are called to be pastors. And boy, do we need pastors that will preach the word of God in this country today and around the world. We need pastors. We need Christian workers that will go full time and say, I'm going to give all my life, all my energy, all my time. It's going to be serving you in this ministry. Young people, we need people that will step up and say, I'll do that. I'll do that. Now, again, every one of us are called to serve the Lord. We're all called to be full-time Christians.
Amen.
Amen? And that's ambassadors for Christ. We're all called to be that. But, you know, even in calling to be that, there's some people that are called to certain ministries in the church or outside the church where God has called you to put your time and your effort and your gifts and minister. And we're going to be talking this week about the call. Now, I hope in this month to try to accomplish three things. One of three things, anyhow, in everybody's life. I hope God will in some of your lives, in my life, will clarify his call for you. He will clarify his call for you, that you can respond to that call. Lord, where do you want me to serve? And God clarifies that call for you. Here's where I want you to put your effort. Here's where I want you to use your gifts that I've given you. Clarify some calls. A second thing I'm hoping and praying the Lord will do is that he will confirm your call. Some of you have been serving the Lord already. And you're serving God, but you need God to just confirm. This is where I want you to be. You need encouraged. Some of you maybe are serving the Lord. You're discouraged. Lord, is this really what you want me to be doing? Is this it, Lord? And I want him in some of your lives to confirm his call and say, yes, this is where I want you. Or a third thing, maybe in some of your lives, he is going to give you a new call. Ha! Here's where you're saying, I want you to do this. I want you to minister here. Some of you, he might say, I want you to leave your job and I want you to go to the mission field. Wow. Can that happen?
Yes.
He does it. We're going to hear from missionaries that he did that very thing. It wasn't that they weren't serving the Lord. They were serving the Lord. But he said, you know what? I want you to invest in something that is eternally important. And here's a new, fresh call. Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
God could do that. Maybe in some of our lives this month. And you know who I'm really praying for? I'm really praying for our young people. I'm praying for our young people. That some of our young people will hear God. Hear God calling. And they will say, Lord, I'll go. I'll do it. That's what I'm praying. That's what we're going to be talking about. Lord, as we start out this missions month, Lord, we're coming to you. And Lord, I'm praying those things. Some of us need a clarification of our call. Really, where we're supposed to serve. I didn't even know, Lord, maybe. I didn't even know I'm called to serve. Lord, and those people, would you clarify your call? Would you show them? Let them hear your voice and show them where you want them to be serving in the body of Christ, whether it's here or there or wherever. Clarify that call. Lord, there's others here that maybe they're serving the Lord. They're busy for you, Lord. But maybe they've grown weary. Maybe they're discouraged. Maybe they're not seeing the results that they thought they would see. Would, Lord, this month, God, Holy Spirit, would you confirm their call and encourage them, Lord? Encourage them. They need your encouragement. So I'm praying you would do that, Lord. And Lord, there's others, Lord, that they just need it. You are calling them with a fresh new calling. Something that you want for them, Lord. Someplace you want to use them. And my prayer is, Lord, their ears, they would hear you, God. And I would hear you, Lord. Maybe you have a fresh call for my life. I don't know. But Lord, I'm excited to see what you're going to do in this month of missions. And Lord, we're praying. And Lord, I do pray for the young people of this church. My, oh my, oh my, do we need to see young people rise up and heed the call of God to go into even full-time vocational Christian work? Not everybody's called to that, but Lord, some are. And Lord, would it be exciting to see you raise up some of our young people, some of our children, some of our teenagers, some of our 20-somethings or 30-somethings, that they would hear you this month and say, God, I'm in. Lord, that's what I'm praying. And Lord, would you speak? Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, what we plan to do, what I'm going to be doing this month, Lord willing, is we're going to be looking at a different people in the Bible and their calls. And so would you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to look at the different calls of different people in the Bible and see how God called people. And then be in prayer that God will give us that listening ear, that we'll be able to hear his call for us. Isaiah chapter 6 records the call of the prophet Isaiah. And we're going to be looking, first of all, on your outline, the author of the call. Let me read verses 1 through 4. In the year that King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with a train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having 6 wings, and with 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called out to the another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Here we have the call, the author of the call. He begins with the time and the earthly circumstances. You see it there? He says in verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died. in the year that King Uzziah died as a specific event, a specific time for this call. It was the year 740 BC. The king, King Uzziah, you remember, King Uzziah, for most of his life, he had reigned for 52 years. You imagine having a leader of your country for 52 years? He reigned for 52 years, and for most of his life, he was a good king. He was a good king. In the end, he messed up, didn't he? If you know the story, he messed up and God had to discipline him. As we get older, I'll tell you what, we've got to be careful. I remember Vance Havner. You remember Vance Havner? He started preaching when he was 16. I heard him preaching when he was 93. And he said, "Lord, don't let me live so long that I mess up and people remember me for my mess up." Well, King Uzziah reigned for 52 years. Good king. He kind of messed up in the end. But he was a good king. But it was the year that he died. You know, it was the year that he died. The nation was in turmoil. The nation was in transition. The nation was in peril from sin within. And the enemy without, the Assyrians, were coming. It was the year that King Uzziah died. A year of instability. He says, "I saw the Lord." The Lord God of the Bible. He is the author of the call on our lives. He's the one who calls people into service. And we'll see, I think, throughout, as we go through this series, that the call of God generally begins with an encounter with God. It's when we encounter God that we receive his call. He says, "I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple." Now, think about this. A great king on earth has died. The throne, he's left his throne on earth. But the Lord, the greatest king, the King of Kings, is still on the throne. Amen. He's still on the throne. And when there is a change of earthly leaders, God is still on the throne in heaven. Now, I want us to remember this. Listen, come November 9th, or come Inauguration Day in January, there will be a new leader. But God will still be on the throne. Amen. And you know, he didn't see him. Oh, there was turmoil on earth. There was anxiety on earth. But God was not up in heaven pacing before his throne, biting his fingernails. He was seated. God is sovereign over heaven and over earth and those things that happen. God is sovereign. Although things were bad on earth, God was in full control. I'll tell you, we don't have to be pessimistic. We've got to be realistic, but not pessimistic, because God is moving us in history toward that day. And he's on the throne. He's on the throne. He saw him. And he saw him lofty, it says, and exalted. I'll tell you, our God is transcendent. He is above our greatest thoughts of him. He's high and exalted and lofty. But you know, Isaiah says over in chapter 57:15, For thus says the High and Exalted One, who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell on a high and a holy place. But thank God for what he says next. And with those who are lowly and of contrite heart. God is high and exalted. But guess where he is? Right here. He's with us. Thank God he's a God like that. He said, I saw him. He's high and exalted. And the robe was filling the temple. In verse 2, I saw seraphim, burning ones, which stood above God, six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his lower parts. And with two, he flew to do the bidding and the will of God. And I heard them cry out, and they cried out. You know, they could have cried out, Almighty, Almighty, Almighty. Or as we sang at the beginning of this service, loving, loving, loving. Or gracious, gracious, gracious. They could have cried that out, and they would have all been true. But they didn't. They cried out, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord of hosts. Yeah. Holy, holy, holy. You see the triune nature of God? God the Father is holy. God the Son is holy. God the Holy Spirit is holy. A.W. Tozer, speaking of God's holiness, writes, we cannot grasp the true meaning of the divine holiness by thinking of someone or something very pure and then raising the concept to the highest degree we are capable of. God's holiness is not simply the best we know, infinitely bettered. We know nothing like the divine holiness. It stands apart, unique, unapproachable, incomprehensible. He is the absolute quintessence of moral excellence, infinitely perfect in righteousness, purity, rectitude, and incomprehensible holiness. Holy is the way God is. To be holy, he does not conform to a standard. He is the standard. He is absolutely holy with infinite, incomprehensible fullness of purity that is incapable of being other than it is because he is holy. All his attributes are holy. That is, whatever we think of as belonging to God must be thought of as holy. These seraphim are there covering their faces in the blazing holiness of God because no angel in the sky, no angelic creature can bear the sight of the blazing holiness of God who dwells in unapproachable light. And they cry out, holy, 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 the whole earth is full of his glory. Now I want us to think about that just for a minute. Because again, if Isaiah looked out on the earth at that time, it was a mess. I'll tell you, politically, they were in turmoil. They were under attack. The Syrians were coming. There was sin rampant. And yet, from heaven's point of view, they looked down, whole earth is full of the glory of God. I think it's in the Psalms, it says, may the whole earth be filled with his glory. We want the whole earth to be filled with his glory, says man. Habakkuk says, the whole earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. But from heaven's point of view, they look down and whole earth full of the glory of God. You see it? You see him? Everything is shouting the glory of God. Amen. I don't care what mess politically, what mess society is in. Looking with spiritual eyes, looking from heaven's point of view, you can see the glory of God. Oh, they cry out. They cry out, and their praises and proclamations were not just, oh, praise God. Their shouts were such that the whole temple, the whole foundation of the temple in heaven was shaken. And they're crying out day and night, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the smoke started filling the temple. And what he saw was the glory of God. Revelation 15:8 says, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of the Lord and his power. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what he saw in the year the king Uzziah died? I saw the Lord. And folks, he is the one who calls us. He is the one who has a call on your life. And you know what? When you think about that, what a privilege. Amen. What a privilege it is to serve the Lord. Amen. We're serving the God of the universe. The high and lofty one. The transcendent God of the Bible. The holy, holy, holy God. That's who calls us. And I'll tell you what, if you are going to sense the call of God, if you're going to hear God's call on your life, you got to have a fresh encounter with him. Isaiah did. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Secondly, on your outline, the receiver of the call. Verse 5, the receiver of the call. And it was Isaiah. You see what he says there? Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King of the Lord of hosts. I say, you know what, folks? Sometimes we read our Bibles, and we look at these people, and we think, oh, these are super saints. They're super saints. Yeah, I can see God calling some of these people in the Bible, but I ain't much. God couldn't call me. Well, huh, is that right? Well, let me tell you, Isaiah was a man or a person just like you and me. He was a fallen man. He was a sinner. Look at the conviction of sin, verse 5a, conviction of sin. Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined. King James, I'm undone. I'm undone. Now, let me put this in context. This is interesting. That where the Holy Spirit had this call put in this book, because chapter 5, if you went back to chapter 5 of Isaiah, do you know what Isaiah does in chapter 5? He pronounces 6 woes on sinners. He says in chapter 5, he says, woe to those who add house to house, those who are materialism, bound in materialism. Woe to those who rise up early to pursue strong drink. Woe to those who drag iniquity with cords. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine. Woe to all you sinners. You know, as I look out on you guys, you're just a bunch of sinners. That's what Isaiah said. I'm not saying that. That's what Isaiah said. I'm looking around and look at all these sinners. Man, are you sinners? Woe to you. Woe to you. Woe to you. Woe to you. All your sinners. Then he sees God. And what does he say? Woe is me. Woe is, you know what? It's easy to see sin in other people's lives. I see those specks in your eyes right now. Problem with that is what? when I'm looking at everybody else's sin, I might miss the what? The log in my own eye. That's what Jesus talked about. Woe to you, woe to you, woe to you. He saw the Lord. I'm going to tell you what. Nothing like seeing the Lord to help you see yourself.
That's right.
Woe is me. I'm done. I'm ruined. You remember what Job said? Do you know Job was the most righteous man on planet Earth? That wasn't his opinion of himself. That wasn't people around him. That wasn't their opinion. That was God's opinion. God said, he's the most righteous man on earth. And yet, what did he say when he saw the Lord? He said, you know, Lord, I've heard about you. I've heard all about you. But now I have seen you. And I abhor myself. And I repent in dust and ashes. That's the most righteous man on earth when he saw the Lord. What about Daniel? You know, the Bible says Daniel was a righteous man. In fact, I don't think there's any sin that's recorded in the Bible when it comes to Daniel. And yet when Daniel saw the Lord, do you know what he said? He said, my comeliness, my splendor was turned into corruption, and I retained no more strength. That's a righteous man. I'll tell you, there's nothing like seeing God to help us see ourselves. He saw the Lord. There's conviction of sin, but praise God, there was then confession of sin, wasn't there? You see 5b, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Praise God, he made confession. He said, I've got unclean lips. You know what makes unclean lips? What makes unclean lips? The unclean heart. For the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. That's what he's saying. Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips among a people of unclean lips. The heart of the problem, Lord, is the problem of my heart. Yeah. Lord, I'm a sinner. I confess, I say the same thing about it as you say about it. I'm a sinner. And he confesses the confession of sin. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And you know what, folks, I'll tell you, the older I get, and my wife and I talk about this pretty often, the older we get, the more we see our heart, and the more we say, man, desperately wicked, and the more I appreciate grace. Whew, thank you, Lord. But you have the conviction of sin and then the confession of sin. But in verses 6 and 7, you have the cleansing from sin. Do you see it there? Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. The altar here is the altar of sacrifice, the altar where atonement was made. In the New Testament, the altar of atonement was the cross. That's the altar. The only way you can have sins forgiven today is through the cross. Amen. It's, you know, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus that he shed on the cross. And he came, and this seraphim takes this burning coal, and he flies to, when he made confession, he flies to Isaiah, and he touches his lips, and he says, you're cleansed. You're cleansed. Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Again, sometimes we think of these people as something special. They were fallen people like you and me. They were sinners. But they were sinners that had their sins forgiven. I'll tell you again, you can't serve the Lord until you're saved. But further than that, there's got to be a cleansing. I believe God calls people, uses people, not perfect people. If God only used perfect people, there would be no one to use. But he calls people that are honest, that will go before him and say, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm among a people of unclean lips. I'm a sinner just like everybody else. And then 1 John 1:9. Put that down. If you've never heard that verse, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the kind of person God calls and uses. Not a perfect person, but a person that will be honest before God and say, Lord, I need your forgiveness. I'm thankful for your grace, Lord. I confess I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in openness before you. God calls and uses people who will be honest and cleanse vessels. So I ask you today, if you're going to hear the call of God, is there anything that you need to come before God and say, Lord, I need cleansing. Lord, I haven't been following you here. I've sinned. I'll tell you what, the grace of God flows to people that'll do that. And we need to do that. And then God can use you. Listen, God has a call on your life. And he wants to use you. You say, look, he could never use me. I'm a sinner. All of us are. And he's got a call on your life. He's got a call. Now, verse 8 has the issuing of the call. The issuing of the call. In my translation, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying. King James, I think, says also. But it's the same thought. Also, then, when he caught a glimpse of the glory of God and he dealt with sin in his life, then he heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? When he got right with the Lord, he heard. Before he had heard the seraphim, now he hears the voice of God. He hears you know what he heard? He heard a conversation within the Trinity. You know, who shall I send? That's the unity. And who will go for us? That's the Trinity. And God is looking down on the earth. God looks down on this planet. That's, you know what? That's just amazing just to think that, because we're a speck in the speck of space. We're just a little speck. And yet God is concerned with what goes on in this planet. He looked down. He saw his people had gone astray. He saw his people were in sin. He saw the world was a mess. And he said, listen, I have got a mission. He's concerned with this planet. And he said, I've got a mission. Who shall I send? Who will go for us? Can I say this? God's still concerned with this planet. He looks down, he sees our country. It's a mess. Breaks my heart. He looks out at the world and it's a mess. and he sees millions and billions in darkness. He sees people perishing every second and going into a Christless eternity. And if you listen, he's still saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? He's still issuing calls on our lives. The call still goes out. God can use people like you and me. Do you hear it? If you listen closely, you might hear a conversation in the Trinity. Because I still think he's saying that today. And he wants people to respond. But before we even look at response, I want to share with you the challenge of the call. Down in verses 9 through 13. Let me read these verses. Listen to what he says here. Look at 9 through 13. He said, go and tell this people. Keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, their eyes dim. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until cities are devastated and without inhabitants, houses are without people, and the land is utterly desolate. And the Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. Yet there will be a tenth portion of it, and it will again be subject to burning, like a tamarind or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump. I'll tell you what he tells Isaiah, the challenge. Not very encouraging. Basically, what he tells him is, you know what? This call, this job I'm calling you to is not easy. It's not easy. Verse 9, he says, go and tell the people. But then he says, Isaiah, you're going to go and tell them, and they're not going to listen to you. In fact, your ministry will actually make some people's eyes more blind, their ears more deaf, and their hearts more callous. What's that all about? I'll tell you what, verses 9 and 10, you can star those verses. Those are important verses. How do you know, Pastor? Because they're repeated 6 times in the New Testament. 6 times. New Testament writers go back to those verses. Now, what in the world are they talking about? Well, let me just say this. God does not deliberately make sinners blind, deaf, and hard of heart. Do you hear that? God doesn't deliberately do that. I'll tell you who does that. Satan. Satan blinds the minds of the unbelieving. Satan comes, he'll try to be active today here in this church. Because once the word of God goes out, you know what Satan tries to do? What does he try to do? Steal away the seed. Remember the birds that came down and took away the seed? That's what he does. A sinner hears the word of God and goes out and goes merrily on the way because Satan takes away the seed. Satan tries to harden hearts. Well, what is he saying here then? What does he mean by this? Well, the more people resist God's truth, the less able to receive God's truth are they. Amen. Hear this. The sun in the sky melts butter. It hardens clay. The same sun has 2 different results. And the same word of God preached, somebody responds and gets saved, and others walk out, or others walk away, and you know what? They're hardened. It's dangerous to listen to the word of God preached or taught. Because if we don't respond to the word of God, our hearts get a little bit hardened. It's kind of like a seasoned war horse. You know, the horse, when the horse first went into battle, if a cannon went off, the horse would jump and would be spooked. But you know what? After a while, after many battles, cannons can go off and rifles can go off and grenades can go off and doesn't even faze him. That same thing can happen with the word of God. And he said, Isaiah, you're going to go out. You're going to preach your heart out. And people are just going to get harder. You sure you want to take the challenge, Isaiah? You sure you want to respond to this call? And you know, I guess what we can say is God's calls are not always easy. Paul shared that. It hasn't always been easy, and I know. I know with Paul and Becky, they've sacrificed a lot. Hasn't always been easy. God doesn't promise. Now listen, young people, he puts a call in your life, he's not saying, it's going to be easy. It's going to be, oh man, you're going to be so blessed, and you're going to be so, it's going to be so easy. That's not his promise. You know what his promise is? I'll be with you. I'll be with you. And I'll tell you what, I'll be with you. And not only will I be with you, but your life will not be dull. Because I'll tell you, when you obey the call of God, it's not dull. I'll tell you, it's exciting. Sometimes it's frightening. Sometimes it's exhausting. Sometimes it can be all kinds of stuff, but it's not dull. You know, it may not pay a lot, but I'll tell you what, the retirement benefits are out of this world. The challenge. You know, you don't go out and minister and go by the results. You don't even judge a ministry by the results. You judge a ministry by the faithfulness of the workers. That's how God judges a ministry. But he tells Isaiah, you sure you want to take up this call? Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? The response in verse B, 8b. Isaiah saw the Lord. He saw himself. He confessed. He was forgiven. He was cleansed. He heard the voice of God. Whom shall we send? Who will go for us? And he accepted the challenge. Here am I. Send me. I'm available. Lord, send me. Lord, could you use me? Send me, Lord. He didn't ask for clarification. We'll see next week with Moses. Moses wanted clarification on the call. And Jeremiah asked for some clarification. Let me ask you about this call, Lord. He didn't ask for clarification. He looked up and saw the Lord. He looked in and saw himself. He looked around and saw the need. He heard God's voice. Whom shall we send? Who will go for us? And he said, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. I'm willing, Lord. I'll tell you, never underestimate what God could do with one willing worker in the world. Today, there's a great need for laborers. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of, listen, young people, a lot of missionaries coming home from the mission field. George and Val Schultz, Cameroon, they're still serving the Lord down in Dallas, but they're off the mission, off the foreign mission field. Jim and Kathy Tanner. Been serving the Lord, I don't know, 40-some years in Papua New Guinea. They're getting old. And health-wise, they're coming home. Roy and Ruth Harrison, serve the Lord in Europe. CEF, I don't know, 40 years, run 40 years. They're getting older. They're cutting back. Esley Patch, beloved brother Esley, with Summit Missions. He's getting older. He's getting older. Can't do maybe what he could do before. May have to retire. They're looking for a new director. But you see, missionaries are kind of coming home. Pastors are getting older, some pastors. And they retire. We need new workers. God is still up in heaven. He sees that the labor, the harvest is plentiful. Laborers are few. There are people that are going, but there's not enough to replace those that are coming home. And God in heaven, I believe if you listen, is still, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And my prayer is that every one of us, and some of the young people will say, Lord, I'm going to live my life for you. I don't care about the stuff of this world. I don't care about the rat race of this world. Here am I. Amen. Send me, Lord. Would you pray with me this month that that'll happen? Yes. And again, maybe someone here today wants to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. This month, we're going to have a special mission song. Facing the task unfinished. I want you to listen to this song now. Let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart. Jacob, could we have that video? Lord, we bow before you. We thank you. You're a high and holy God, and yet you dwell here with us who are lowly and of contrite heart. We worship you, God. And we know even as we leave this place today, we go into the mission field. Help us through your Holy Spirit to be good ambassadors for you this week. We ask in Jesus' name.